A bright white light shines out from the center of a black screen. The screen lightens to reveal looming clouds and a blue sky. The light gleams from a torch held aloft by a statuesque woman wearing Grecian-style robes. She stands on a raised plinth before the cloudy sky. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. On a blurred deep blue screen, two circles of steel rotate. They're held in place by a crescent of steel. Snow starts to fall and icicles appear. Revolution Studios. All the lights are in letters decorated with fairy lights, Revolution Studios presents a 1492 production. Tim Allen, Jamie Lee Curtis. On a digital alarm clock, the time reads 7:59. A man in his 40s with short brown hair sits up in bed. Pensive, he rests his chin in his hand. Next to him, a woman of a similar age with shoulder-length brown hair stares into space, lost in thought. Sighing, the man, Luther Crank, turns off the alarm.
We should get moving. Got a big day.
His wife, Nora, fiddles languidly with a strand of her hair. Then they both climb out of bed. A garland decorated with fairy lights and a red ribbon. Over it, in white letters, Christmas with the Cranks. Dan Aykroyd. At an airport, the Cranks and the pretty blonde daughter ride up an escalator.
Sunday after Thanksgiving. Busiest travel day of the year. Can you remind me again, Blair, why you're traveling today?
Fighting back tears, Blair turns to face her parents.
You're all fly by. I'll be home next Christmas.
Blair and her mother hug tearfully.
I love you, Mommy. Sweetheart.
She's going to be fine.
Daddy.
Blair hugs him. He closes his eyes.
I love you.
Emotional, Nora looks on as father and daughter hold each other. Blair pecks Luther on the cheek. She backs away, blowing a kiss.
Bye, honey.
Nora's face crumples as she attempts to smile. Luther tries to look casual.
Love you.
Nora waves. Blair turns.
I love you.
She waves back, then walks away. Nora turns to Luther and leans into his shoulder. Later, in the car, Luther drives as Nora stares at the screen on a digital camera. On the display, a picture of Blair and Luther grinning. Nora still tearful.
Think she'll be okay?
Luther looks at the picture.
She'll be better than okay.
I meant in Peru, in the jungle.
Please stop worrying about this, okay? The Peace Corps is not going to send her someplace that's dangerous.
Nora continues to stare at the camera.
Just won't be the same.
What won't?
Christmas.
Luther rolls his eyes as Nora sits glumly with her mouth turned down. They drive on along the busy highway. Based on the novel Skipping Christmas by John Grisham. Screenplay by Chris Columbus. Directed by Joe Roth. In driving rain, the Cranks motor along a residential street.
Did I tell you I'm doing dessert for the art lunch tomorrow and I just need a couple things from Chips? Oh, there's a spot right here. I need white chocolate and pistachios.
Luther pulls over at the side of the street. He looks out at the teeming rain, then down at the floor, before glancing over his shoulder and half smiling at Nora.
I didn't bring the umbrella.
Oh, I need that stuff from Chips.
I didn't bring the umbrella.
Well, I still need it.
It's gonna have to wait.
Nora considers.
Okay, look, you stay in the car,
I'll
and
go,
I'll get
I'll go, put you, I'll go, I'll go. Look, it's just sprinkling.
Listen, don't forget Dixon's white chocolate, 1 pound bar, and March Brothers pistachios.
Okay.
Already soaked by the rain, Luther closes the driver's door and jogs across the road. He stops, reaching a pothole. A car passes behind him. Luther steps carefully over the pothole. Another car motors fast, driving through it, and Luther gets drenched in water. He waves sarcastically.
You can use an umbrella!
I just need some white chocolate!
A Father Christmas holds a brolly with a Santa on it. Luther disappears into Chip's Market. In the car, Nora wipes away tears as she sits sewing something. Luther emerges from Chip's Market and runs back across the road to the car. Holding a white plastic bag, he climbs in and wipes his soaked face. He turns to Nora, who's still sniveling.
What's the matter?
I just talked to Blair. She called from the plane.
She called from the airplane? Do you have any idea how much it costs to call from an airplane?
Nora glares at him.
How is she?
She's fine. She misses us.
Over there. I quit.
What? You didn't get the white chocolate.
Luther wipes his eyes.
I didn't have any.
What, did you talk to Rex?
Who's Rex?
The butcher.
He lifts his hands despairingly.
As odd as it sounds, I didn't think of asking the butcher
where the chocolate was.
Stony-faced, Nora turns away from him.
But I will. I'll go talk to Rex right now. Maybe he'll wonder why I'm all wet.
Nora ignores him, continuing with her sewing. His teeth gritted, Luther gets out of the car and heads back across the road. A car drives in front of him. He approaches the umbrella salesman.
You sure you don't need it?
Glowering, Luther holds up a hand and goes back into Chip's market.
Hey, buddy, can I get one of those?
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Nora sits in the car, sewing contentedly. As Luther comes out of Chip's market, a man barges into him, and Luther stumbles, knocking away one of the awning poles.
I really think you need an umbrella!
No! You know why I don't want one of your stupid umbrellas? Because I got one!
The awning collapses, a torrent of water tumbles over Luther.
Couldn't get any wetter!
The draggled Luther looks around helplessly. He ambles a little way along the pavement, his eyes fixed on a billboard. On it, a picture of a sexy, suntanned couple on a beach, a cruise liner on the sea behind them. A caption reads, "Rainy days got you down." Across the picture itself, "Cruise the Caribbean on Carnival Cruise Lines." Luther stares at the image transfixed. Thoughtfully wipes his hand over his mouth. Lightning flashes. A new day. Skyscrapers tower over the city. Smartly dressed, Luther enters the offices of Wiley & Associates.
Morning, Luther.
He strides through the open plan office.
Hey, Mr. Crank.
Good morning, Mr. Crank.
Luther marches into his office and closes the door. At his desk, Luther taps away at an adding machine. Peering through his specs, he looks at various receipts, then tots them up on the machine. At a desk outside his office, his secretary docks, frowns. She eyes Luther with a look of disdain. Luther, meanwhile, continues to sort through receipts. On the adding machine's digital display, the grand total comes to 6,132. Luther removes his specs and smiles in disbelief at the figure. He stares at a family photo. Later, he and Nora sit at the dining room table eating dinner. Nora gazes fondly at a snowman salt cellar, then sprinkles some on her food.
It's so different this Christmas, won't it, Luther?
Yes, it will. It's so different. Nothing will be the same.
The first time in 23 years, Blair won't be here.
Might even get depressing.
Mm.
A lot of depression at Christmas, you know?
Nora stares down.
Yeah, well. I would just love to forget about it.
A glint in his eye, Luther glances at his wife, then wipes his mouth with his napkin. Nora meets his gaze. He half smiles and her lips spread into a smile.
What are you looking at?
He grins cheekily.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Beaming, he looks steadily at her. She smiles coyly.
Finish your pasta.
I'm finished with my pasta. It's you I'm not finished with. I'll be right back.
He stands up.
Right there.
Okay.
Nora downs her red wine and ruffles her hair. She starts to unbutton her waistcoat, then grabs Luther's wine and takes a big gulp. He reappears wearing a tropical shirt and carrying a ghetto blaster. Sporting shades, he prances about.
Luther!
He puts down the ghetto blaster and dances about.
What are you doing? It's not even Saturday night.
Nora claps excitedly as Luther performs. He pretends to limbo dance. Nora beams and blushes like a schoolgirl.
I have an idea.
Yeah?
A brilliant idea.
He starts to push the plates across the table. Nora stands up, her back to him, and continues to undo her clothing.
Make sure you shut the curtains.
He puts down some papers.
All right. Come over here, turn around. What are you doing? Sit down. Sit down. Button up and sit down. Look at this. This is a little ledger of what we spent last year for Christmas. Let's look at some of this stuff. What is this? $63 for ornament repair? You gotta be kidding me. Look at the total.
Nora frowns.
We spent $6,100 on Christmas last year. $6,100 on Christmas.
I heard you the first time.
With precious little to show for it.
Where is this going?
Luther opens a brochure in front of his puzzled wife.
Caribbean.
She stares at him.
A 10-day luxury cruise on the Jubilee. The most luxurious ship in their fleet. Cayman Islands.
He covers his nose and mouth.
Sparkling! We go to Jamaica. We windsurf. Whatever the heck that is. It's something. Look at the picture here. The Bahamas. We sit in the sun.
10 days, luxury cruise, you and me.
She grins broadly.
I might have to lose a little weight.
Ah, heck, I'll lose it for you.
Well, what's the catch?
Well, I wouldn't call it a catch.
He pulls up a chair and sits.
We skip Christmas.
We skip Christmas?
We skip Christmas, save the money, and spend it on us for a change.
I don't know.
Come on, please, you and I, go bask in the Caribbean sun.
How much is this going to cost?
$3,000.
Her eyes bulge.
We save money?
Absolutely.
Nora's eyes sparkle.
Well, we can still give our charitable donations to Children's Hospital and of course, the church.
No, this is a total boycott, honey. Total.
It's $600, Luther.
It's a total boycott. I'm afraid that's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh. And no.
She closes the brochure.
Stupid idea.
And marches out, in bed.
You're going to let a lousy $600 stand between us and a Caribbean cruise.
No, you are.
Smiling to herself, Nora continues to read her book. Luther lowers his magazine and turns to look at her.
All right. Look, I'll match last year's contribution to the church and to the hospital, but not a penny more.
When do we leave?
High noon, Christmas Day.
She smiles contentedly and straddles him.
Oh, it's not even Saturday night.
At work, Luther types.
Dear colleagues, I will not be celebrating Christmas this year. As many of you know, Blair has joined the Peace Corps.
Luther shakes his head.
So, Nora and I have decided to avoid the rituals of Christmas, save our money, and take a cruise.
The letters print.
Therefore, I will not be participating in the usual holiday rituals. I will buy no gifts and accept none. Thank you anyway. I will not attend the firm's black tie Christmas dinner, nor will I be here for the office party.
Luther distributes them.
I am not angry and I will not yell humbug at anyone who offers me a holiday greeting.
His colleagues stare in disbelief.
I am simply skipping Christmas.
Nora bustles along the street. She pauses, looking through a shop window. A bespectacled man sees her and grins broadly. Nora hurries on, but the man dashes out of the shop and pursues her.
Hello, Mrs. Crank.
Hello, Abby. How are you?
Oh, I'm just a little worried about your Christmas cards, Mrs. Crank.
Why are you worried?
Oh, well, you always select the most beautiful cards, Mrs. Crank, and you really should put your order in.
We're not going to be ordering Christmas cards this year.
Do what?
You heard me.
May I ask why not?
You know, I'm really quite late for lunch. Bye-bye. Say hi to your mom.
We always have a live band at the auction.
Yeah, but last year the band cost $15,000.
We hired a DJ for the cancer ball.
Ladies.
Hi, Abby.
Hello, Abby.
Mrs. Crank, we've got to talk about your Christmas invitations.
We won't be needing those either.
No party?
No Christmas Eve party?
No party this year.
She's not ordering Christmas cards either.
In a restaurant, Nora's two friends gawp at her as Obi goes.
What's up?
Nora looks awkward.
We're taking a break. We're not going to do Christmas this year.
How do you simply not do Christmas?
Well, you skip it.
But then what do we do Christmas Eve?
Oh, you'll think of something. I mean, there are plenty of other parties.
But none like yours.
Oh, that's sweet.
When do you leave?
Christmas Day.
That's an odd time to travel.
Well, apparently not that many people travel on December 25th, and so Luther got us a great deal.
Oh, then why don't you have the party anyway?
Because we don't want to, Mary. We're taking a break. 1 year off, no Christmas whatsoever.
Her friends, Mary and Candy, stare, mouths agape. Obi sits at a table with another two women who also stare, as does the rest of the restaurant. Nora fiddles nervously with her hair. Luther pulls into the Crank's driveway in his car. As he gets out, a man, Mr. Scanlon, and two boy scouts drag a Christmas tree towards the house. One of the boys addresses Luther.
Mr. Crank, I'm Randy Scanlon. We're selling Christmas trees again this year. Got yours right here.
Nora comes out.
You had a Canadian blue spruce last year. So this one's a real beauty, almost 10 feet tall. Mrs. Crank likes the big ones.
Cute.
How much is the big one?
90. We had to go up a little.
Nora smiles Luther's po-faced.
We're not buying a Christmas tree this year.
Mr. Scanlon and the boys look gutted.
Luther?
Shh, we talked about this.
Nora smiles uneasily at the boys and Mr. Scanlon, then hurries back inside, Luther grins, shifting self-consciously.
Sorry we had to go up on the price.
We're making less per tree than last year.
It's not about the money. We're not doing Christmas this year. We're going to go away on a cruise. We don't need a tree.
With a glower, Mr. Scanlon pushes the unwanted tree over and drags it away, the two glum-faced boys trailing after him.
All right. Well, out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Indoors, Nora's by a window.
Luther!
What?
Come here.
Why?
Come here!
He joins her.
What are they doing?
Who? Spilling their guts to Frohmeyer.
Oh, not Frohmeyer.
People are gathered by the Christmas tree truck.
Are you intimidated by Vic Frohmeyer?
Honey, he's like the unelected ward boss of the street.
So you're saying Frohmeyer has a problem with our skipping Christmas? Who's he gonna call? The three wise men. Santa Claus.
Don't underestimate him, honey. Vic Frohmeyer lives and breathes for this neighborhood. You should have just bought the tree. You didn't have to put it up.
No.
You could have left it in the backyard.
Quiet.
Why are you whispering, Luther? This is our house.
I'm whispering for the same reason you're hiding behind that curtain. Huh?
They close them. Outside.
Hey, Walt. Luther Crank just stiffed the scouts on a Christmas tree.
Walt looks to a stocky, dark-haired, balding man. Scanlon also glances at him.
Can you believe that, Mr. Frohmeyer?
As Scanlon moves away, Vic Frohmeyer slowly turns towards the Crank's house. His jowly face set in a glare, he looks through narrowed eyes at the house. He glances back over his shoulder at the scouts sitting on the back of the truck and gives them a nod before turning his steely gaze back on the Cranks. Night, Luther carries his recycling box out onto the front lawn. He heads back towards the house. Some neighbors are putting up fairy lights.
Becker's at it again.
Even Vic.
Luther? Everybody's gonna really miss Blair this year. Old Block's been talking about it. How's she doing?
Yeah, she's doing just fine. Thanks for asking. How's your family?
In great spirits. We're putting up decorations tonight. Wind it tight, Spike.
He's putting up lights too.
Looks good, Mama.
Spike smiles fondly.
It's the greatest time of year, Luther, don't you think?
I couldn't be happier. You know, it's not going to be the same without Blair here.
Of course not.
Rebecca's lights explode.
Honey, are you okay? Oh, come here.
As Mrs. Becker helps her husband, he slips.
You know, there's certain things around here that I'm going to miss at Christmas.
So you're really skipping out?
You got it.
Somehow it just doesn't seem right.
Well, that's really not up to you to decide, is it?
But I gotta tell you, a lot of the neighbors are pretty upset.
Really?
Christmas has always been a neighborhood thing around here. You know that.
Yeah.
Everybody decorates. Everybody bakes cookies and swaps gifts. I guess we do it for the kids.
If you're trying to make me feel guilty, get off of it. And you know what else? I'd appreciate if you and everyone else around here would just respect my wishes.
Whatever you say, Luther.
Yeah.
Luther shrugs awkwardly. Vic eyes him.
Huh.
He exhales, continuing to shift as Vic stares up at the sky.
Weather should be clear tomorrow. Perfect time to put up Frosty.
Vic hands him a flyer.
Frosty?
It reads Frosty Fest. Hey, neighbor, it's time to put up your Frosty.
Tell you what, truth is, if I'm gone, I'm...
Luther turns, Vic's vanished.
Vic?
Luther looks around him and lifts his arms in confusion.
Vic?
A new day.
Frosty is a Christmas tradition.
Frosty is a Christmas decoration, and I will not be told by Vic Frohmeyer that I have to decorate my house for Christmas.
Luther goes outside.
Why won't you put up Frosty?
Nora follows him.
It's the principal thing, Nora. Do you understand? We could forget about Christmas if we damn well choose.
Swear.
And nobody, not even Vic Frohmeyer, can stop us. I will not be forced into doing this.
Glowering, she wraps her dressing gown more tightly around her as Luther heads for the car. Dressed for work, he turns back and gives her a kiss.
Good day.
Nora looks over at Walt's wife.
morning, Beth. Hi, Walt.
Hey, Nora!
Nora goes back inside. Luther strolls to the car. To go gliding in. He treads on a cat's tail. A group of girls stare.
It was an accident. Hey, Walt, why don't you put that cat of yours on a leash?
Only dogs wear leashes, old man. Think you can run away from Christmas, huh?
Well, I'm trying to.
I guess it's a good way to save money.
It's not about the money.
Yeah, sure.
Muffles, be polite. Will you two ever be friends?
You know, I'd like to say yes, but,
Luther hisses at the cat, which Bev now holds.
How you feeling today, Bev?
Have my good days and bad days. Today's a good day.
I'm glad to hear that.
Come have your breakfast, dear.
Bev goes.
I gotta get to work.
Still working for the man, huh?
As a matter of fact, it is a man I work for.
Thought they would have made you a partner by now.
Luther glares.
I gotta get to work.
Well, have a good one, old man.
About to get into the car, Luther turns back.
What? One snowball with a little yellow spot on it. Just skim the top of that little head of his.
Walt's walking off.
Old man.
Luther gets into his car. Later he arrives at work, a colleague passes.
Bah, humbug.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Glancing about him, Luther approaches his secretary.
Good morning, Docs. Do I have any messages?
Walmart call. Said I had to buy my own cheap perfume since Santa Claus isn't coming this year.
Ha ha ha, funny.
Fix outside the cranks.
Nora Crank! We're here for Frosty!
Now dressed, Nora crawls on hands and knees to the bedroom window. Clutching the cordless phone, she dials a number. At work, Luther answers.
Hello.
Luther!
Hey, babe.
They're here?
Who?
Vic Frohmeyer, Wes Trott, and Ned Becker, and a gang of their cats.
We're here for Frosty.
They want Frosty.
Well, they can't have him.
Nora, please give us Frosty.
Nora crawls over to the bed.
Honey, where is Frosty?
He's down behind the furnace. Why?
They won't go away.
Well, don't give them Frosty.
You and Luther do not have to do anything. Just leave Frosty on the front porch. We'll put him up for you.
They said they'll put him up for us.
Absolutely not.
Oh, please, Luther.
No!
Luther!
We'll come back later.
And Frosty better be here.
Oh, they're gonna come back.
What's the deal?
You're panicking on the phone in a locked house.
Because the neighbors went door to door
to set up a ridiculous 7-foot-tall snowman.
Oh, sure. Easy for you to say. Miles away in the safety of your office.
Yeah, well.
I am the one trapped here. I am the one dealing with this.
All right. I agree. So maybe it's time that you left the neighborhood.
Oh, sure, honey. And how do you think I'm going to do that? The street is blocked with all of our neighbors.
Walk to the garage, get in the car, start it, drive them all. I'll meet you at O'Leary's.
No. Do it. Do it now. You can do this.
Having emerged from under the bed cover, Nora hangs up and creeps onto the landing. She breaks into a run. From the darkness of the garage, the door slides up. Nora sits behind the wheel of a car, the fur-trimmed hood of a coat pulled up, her gloved hands gripping the steering wheel. Glancing around her fearfully, she pulls onto the driveway. The neighbors are out in force, putting up the Frosties on the front lawns. Her eyes darting about nervously, Nora pulls onto the road. A neighbor waves.
Hi, Mrs. Frank!
Nora?
Walt holds out his hands, another man spots her.
Vic, she's leaving!
A giant Frosty blocks the road.
I'm so sorry. Sorry.
Nora pulls away again.
Sorry.
Vic grabs the open driver's window.
Nora. Oh! Nora, stop the car. Stop the car. Please, listen. Hey, don't do anything you'll regret. Now, please, indulge me for a second. Nora, stop the car. Talk to me, Nora. Give us Frosty. Nora, stop the car. Stop the car, Nora. Stop the car, Nora, please. We just want Frosty. Talk to me, Nora. Please,
it goes. As he runs alongside the car, she winds up the window, trapping his gloved fingers. Nora grimaces. Vic pulls his hands free and falls to the road, leaving his gloves trapped. Nora glances round and sees them. Later, she cups back a beer in a bar with Luther.
It's us women who handle Christmas, not men. I am the one taking the brunt for your harebrained scheme. I am the one on the front lines.
Luther glances away, lifting a finger.
I have a surprise for you. Shut your eyes.
She wearily closes her eyes. Luther holds up the top part of a tiny tropical bikini.
All right, open them.
She does, and chuckling, grabs it, holding it up to herself.
Honey, is this some kind of joke?
Oh, got one too. What do you think?
Woman's bathing suit?
The bottoms.
Probably belongs with that. Nope, got my own. Look at that. Huh? Little cliff diver thing.
Tiny trunks.
There's no way we are wearing these on this cruise.
These aren't for the cruise.
They ride an escalator in a shopping mall.
You know what's odd? Is when an Irish pub serves fish tacos. I don't get that. And I got a little heartburn, and I don't think I'm going to do that again. Here it is right here.
A tanning shop.
Come on, come on. Follow me, and don't mention her eyes.
Hello, Mr. Crank.
Hi, Daisy. This is my wife, Nora.
Hello.
Daisy's mud brown with white panda eyes.
I really don't want to do this.
Come on. I got a great deal. $60, 12 visits.
Why would we get a tan before the cruise? I thought the whole point was to get a tan during the cruise.
Look at our skin. We kind of look like uncooked chicken.
You look like a corpse. And you could use a little help yourself.
Thank you.
In a tanning room wearing the skimpy bikini, Nora looks in a mirror.
Oh, dear God, this should be outlawed.
Wearing goggles, she turns on the sunbed and lies down on the bottom section, pulling the top down over her. The ultraviolet light makes her glow a pale blue colour as she shifts around trying to get comfortable.
Okay, calm down.
She lies still on her back. A man wearing thick lensed glasses bursts in.
Whoa! Ah! Wow!
Nora starts banging her head.
Excuse me.
He turns and shuffles back out. Still wearing her bikini, Nora runs out to reception, pressing a small blue hand towel to her forehead.
Excuse me.
She removes Daisy's headphones.
Hello, I need a Band-Aid.
Nora Crank?
Nora turns to find a clergyman staring at her.
Father Zabriskie, hello. What are you doing here?
That's a mall, Nora. I'm Christmas shopping.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Are you okay, Nora?
Yes. Sort of.
You're bleeding.
Oh, yes, it's just a scratch. Just, could I get another towel, please?
I'm looking for a Band-Aid. Jeez, lady, make up your mind.
Father Zabriskie is gawping at her ample cleavage. Nora sees him and tries to cover herself with the towel.
Nora, I hear it from a good source that you and Luther have decided not to observe Christmas this year.
Yeah, sort of. Father Zabriskie, Luther and I are fine. Everything is fine, and everything is completely normal.
Lieutenant said you were bleeding. Are you all right,
Luther?
Hey there.
Luther looks embarrassed.
Father Zabriskie,
Morning. In the paper, a photo of the cranks and the swimwear and their undecorated house.
Nora! We've made the front page. Check it out.
Well done.
Nora sits up in bed and puts on her glasses. Aghast, she reads.
Skipping Christmas?
Yep.
The home of Mr. and Mrs. Luther Crank is rather dark this Christmas. While the rest of their neighbors on Hemlock Street are decorating and busily preparing for Santa, the Cranks are skipping Christmas. They're preparing for a cruise, according to unnamed sources. No tree, no lights, and no Frosty up on the roof, and the only house on Hemlock to keep Frosty hidden in the basement. How do they know where Frosty is?
They have spies everywhere.
Hemlock, a frequent winner in the Gazette Street Decoration Contest, finished a disappointing sixth this year. I hope they're satisfied now, complained one unidentified neighbor. A rotten display of selfishness, said another. Who said that?
Could have been anybody.
How dare they? What a bunch of losers. You know what, Luther? You know, I don't think I'm coming back from this cruise.
Atta girl, two more days and we're out of here.
Two more, baby.
She cleans her teeth.
Jerk.
Luther grins. Later, Nora's behind the counter in a soup kitchen.
Hey, that's mine.
Mary's with her candy bustles in.
Regan. Oh, sorry, I'm late. Hey,
what's wrong?
It's Bev Shield.
Candy breaks down.
Oh, sure. She went for a checkup yesterday. The cancer's back for the third time.
Has it spread?
They think so.
Oh, that's horrible.
This could be her last Christmas.
Sweet.
Nora hugs Candy, patting her back. Walt's in his driveway polishing his car when Luther pulls up and gets out, clutching a newspaper. The cat's lying on the sidewalk. Luther walks round the front of his car. He steps on the cat's tail.
Well, if it isn't old Scrooge himself.
How do you think this photographer got the shot?
What photographer?
The one that took this photograph.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Well, he climbed up.
On your roof?
Yeah.
Well, why did you do that?
I don't know. He said he wanted to get a shot of the whole street.
Luther glares at the grinning Walt.
At least you're consistent.
I try to be, old man.
Stop that.
Stop what?
Stop calling me old man. You're like 10 years older than me.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, prove it.
Walt?
Nora runs up.
I just heard about Bev. I'm so sorry.
She hugs him.
How's she doing?
Remarkably well. You know, in good spirits. Mm. Decorating the house. Baking cookies.
Sure. If there's anything we can do, let me know.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Walt's face hardens as he glances at Luther, then turns and walks away. Luther stares down at the ground. Nora turns to look gently at him.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
The street in which the Cranks live is lit up with festive lights and Christmas decorations. Only the Cranks' house is unadorned, its facade free of illuminations. Walt's on his front lawn, fiddling with the fairy lights on his hedge. He glances over at the Cranks' house disapprovingly, then gets back to his lights, which suddenly illuminate. The Cranks are in the kitchen.
They're here for Frosty.
Nora holds up her hands.
No.
Luther nods at her. She shakes her head firmly.
I'll get it.
Thank you.
Wearing an apron, he goes. He opens up.
Hey, good evening, Mr. Crank.
Good evening, officers.
Well, Mr. Crank, it's that time of year again. Your Police Benevolent Association is out there raising money for the community.
Oh, that's great.
You know, Toys for Tots, and we deliver gift baskets for the underprivileged, and ice skating for the handicapped kids, and every year we deliver presents for the elderly at the nursing homes, and of course our war veterans. And our big money maker is our calendar, and you buy one every year, so here we are.
Luther looks round at a smiling Nora.
We don't need a calendar this year.
Nora retreats. The two cops share a look. Nora sinks to the floor with Walt and Bev.
What a jerk.
He said he didn't need one. Well, thank you for your contribution. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Good luck with it, huh?
The two cops go. Walt ambles towards the street as a pickup truck full of women wearing old-fashioned clothes pulls up.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas.
We're from St. Maria's Lutheran Church out caroling. Are those folks home?
Yes, they are.
Are they Jewish?
No.
Buddhist or anything?
No, none of that. They're just trying to avoid Christmas this year.
Do what?
You heard me. He's kind of weird. Skipping Christmas so he can save his money for a cruise.
Oh, no.
I think some Christmas cheer would do them good.
Really?
Yeah, well, why don't you go ahead?
All righty then.
The Cranks are at the kitchen table eating supper.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
Luther dives to the floor. He grabs Nora and pulls her to the floor. Outside the front door, the carolers are in full swing. Luther bops his head into the hallway, then makes a run for it. Nora trots after him. Luther drops to his knees behind a partition. Nora joins him. Luther looks at her and points two fingers towards his eyes, then across the room, then back to his eyes.
Go!
Luther gestures that have amused Nora, who crawls to the sofa. She waves an arm and Luther runs past.
This is fun!
Luther moves warily towards a window.
Christmas carolers right out next to our junipers.
Oh, how lovely!
It's not lovely, they're trespassing. Somebody set us up.
Trespassing?
Yes, they are. They're on our property. They weren't invited. Somebody told them to come. Sheil or Frohmeyer?
Christmas carolers are not trespassers.
I know what I'm talking about here.
Well, why don't you have them arrested then?
I just may do that.
Yeah, call your friends down at the police department.
Well, that's funny.
Not too late to buy a calendar.
She mimics his eye gesture.
This isn't a joke. This is military. This is SEAL stuff. Saw it on Discovery Channel.
They've pulled the curtains. Outside, the merry looking carol singers are joined by some of the neighbors. Ned and his family, lots of the kids, including Spike, and with his wife beside him, Vic Frohmeyer, who sings enthusiastically, his cheeks glowing.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh!
Inside, the cranks are in armchairs in the front room. Luther holds a book, Nora, a ball of wool. Vic shouts the words aggressively. The cranks look increasingly uneasy as they try to pretend the carol singers aren't there. Luther finds his arm waving to the beat and tucks it under his other arm. Vic glances about manically as he sings. The cranks look over their shoulders. Nora exhales. Luther looks at her and they share a relieved smile. Satisfied, Luther gets back to his book. In her armchair near a side window, Nora fiddles with a length of the red wool, then winds it around the rest of the ball. It's tangled at the very end. She studies it for a moment, then leans down to a knitting basket and searches through it. She selects another ball of yarn in the same colour, then sits back up. On the other side of the window are the faces of some of the jolly carol singers.
Frosty, so jolly, happy soul.
Luther leads Nora away. Outside, Walt and Vic sing together.
Oh, Frosty, so
the cracks go into the basement.
Sit right there. Here you go. Right here.
They sit on a bench.
That's perfect. Ah, quietest room in the house. No one can find us down here.
Nora twiddles her hair nervously and slowly turns her head, her eyes widening. Luther follows her gaze. Frosty, the giant snowman, seems to be staring at her. Outside, Spike and the other kids chant. A new day. Spike bangs a free Frosty placard into the crank's front lawn. Luther comes out in his dressing gown and rips it apart. In the shopping street, Nora smiles after the cute young girls who greeted her. Her smile fades. Night, Luther hoses water onto his front path and lawn. With a sneer, he aims the jet at Walton Bev's cat. Turning off the hose, he starts to go inside, but pauses, ripping the garland off the front door. Morning, Luther celebrates as the postman slips over on his now icy path. Night, the carol singers fall over in a heap on the path. Concerned Nora comes out. She slips onto her stomach. Whizzing along the path through the mass of flailing carolers, Nora spots the cat chosen solid icicles formed on its tail. The iced cat blinks. Nora's at the hospital reading to some children.
Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why, no one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight.
Luther waves through a window in the door.
But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small.
Nora appears at Luther in the hospital diner.
Luther, your face!
What about it?
It's like it's frozen or something.
Oh, this?
He looks like Mr. Spock.
I got a Botox injection today.
Botox treatment.
Botox. They take a big needle and inject it into your forehead and it freezes your face like this. I read it in a health magazine.
And how long are you going to be like this?
Well, this is temporary. And then you got all your wrinkles are gone.
His food drops back out of his numb mouth. Horrified, Nora stares at him.
You should try it.
Yeah, well, you ought to get your money back.
Luther regurgitates every mouthful.
Luther, I can't live like this anymore.
What? A mouthful lands back on his fork.
We can't go out. Everywhere we go, people are whispering behind our backs. I can't go home. It's too depressing. I mean, there's no tree, no lights, no music.
His head tilted back, Luther attempts to swallow his food.
I can't talk to you. You're just consumed with yourself.
That's not true.
Look how far you've gone.
Amazing.
I mean, turning our lawn into an ice rink.
I can't feel anything.
I mean, somebody could have broken their leg or their neck. I mean, you could have put one of those carolers in the hospital.
And that would be a bad thing.
Luther!
I know this has been tough on you, but in just one day, 24 hours, we'll be on that trip. And it's all going to be better. I promise.
I don't know.
Hey.
He sucks on a straw.
I'm going to...
Water trickles out of his mouth and down his front. He spits. At home in that unadorned house, Noah's in the bedroom packing.
Do you think that Blair will even think about Christmas?
Probably not. He's in the rainforest, you know, around people who worship trees and eat bark and frogs and that sort of stuff.
Ooh. Luther emerges.
You gonna wear that?
Absolutely.
Oh, nice.
Wearing shorts and tropical shirt, he answers the phone.
I know this is you, Spike. Goodbye.
Again? How many times is that?
About 5 or 6 times. Wish I had a snappy comeback for this smart guy.
Who cares?
You're right. The islands are calling.
Luther turns away from the embrace.
Goodbye, Spike.
He hangs up.
You're a genius.
Thank you.
They kiss again. Nora goes back to her packing as Luther answers the phone.
All right, Frosty's dead.
What?
Dad, is that you?
Wait a minute. Blair?
Yeah.
Hi.
Blair?
No, that was a joke. I thought that was somebody from work. Your mom's going to get on the other line, and then we both have something very fun to tell you.
Blair?
Hi, Mommy.
Luther holds the phone at a distance.
It's Mommy!
How are you? Where are you?
I'm in Miami, and I'm coming home for Christmas.
What?
Are you guys surprised?
I'm stunned!
Surprised?
We landed about an hour ago.
Oh, that's great!
What do you mean, we?
Well, I have another wonderful surprise.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
I'm with Enrique.
A handsome, dark-haired young man.
What's Enrique?
Enrique? Oh, he's a doctor. Oh, we went to Brown together. Oh, you guys met him a couple of times at my dorms and at my graduation.
Of course.
I don't remember.
He's Peruvian.
Oh, great! A communist!
Honey!
Sometimes we called him Rick.
Rick? Rick, the guy that you went down there to shack up with.
He lived in a separate hut, Dad.
Hot schmutt. I want to see some pictures to prove that.
We've been friends for
years, and he's just so wonderful.
We fell in love while working together.
Luther bangs his head.
He's asked me to marry him.
What?
And I really want to.
Luther mimics the screeching Nora.
No, honey! Oh!
You know, Enrique has always gone home for the holidays, so he's never celebrated Christmas in America, and he's so excited.
I told him all about Christmas there. The tree, the decorations,
Frosty up on the roof, everything. Is it snowing, Daddy?
No, Enrique has never seen a white Christmas.
No, but I sense a storm coming.
Okay, when do you land? When do you get in?
Oh, we land at 8:03.
Tonight?
Yes, tonight.
Just in time for our big Christmas Eve party.
Nora stares at Luther.
You are having the party, aren't you, Mom?
Luther shakes his head.
Of course we are!
Oh, great! Oh, Mom, you are gonna love Enrique.
He wants to have a house full of kids.
Oh, honey!
Oh, Mom, I can't wait to be home.
Pretty neat surprise, huh?
I am speechless, and your father is probably overwhelmed.
Great. I love you, Mommy.
Oh, I love you too, honey. Safe flight! Okay, I'll see you!
Nora scampers through to Luther, who's prostrate on the bed.
Should have called sooner.
But she didn't, honey.
Why did you tell her we're going to have that party?
Because we are. Oh, I need my vest. I need my vest. I need my vest. I don't know who's coming to the party or what they're going to eat when they get here, but we're having a party.
What about our trip?
Oh, don't even start with me. This was all your stupid idea.
She does up her Christmas waistcoat. Luther stands.
Stupid idea?
Uh-huh.
5 minutes ago, I was a genius.
Yeah, well, now you're an idiot.
How does one call change so much?
No, don't dwell on the past, island boy. We're having a party. Cheese, wine, and Blair's favorite hickory honey ham.
Well, who's going to come to this party?
I haven't gotten that far yet. You're in charge of the tree.
We don't have a tree.
Well, get one and put it up, and then I want you to get your little brown butt down to the basement and put up Frosty.
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes! We are going to perform a little Christmas miracle, and if we pull it off, Blair is never going to know about your stupid, ridiculous, childish scheme of skipping Christmas.
In the basement, Frosty's face glows, his chiseled lips curved into a big grin. A banner reads, Christmas trees, Boy Scouts of America. Luther screeches up, crashing into a small, spindly, bare-branched Christmas tree. Luther gets out, approaching Mr. Scanlon and the two scouts who came to the Cranks.
Hey, I'm sorry about this little ugly bush.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Crank.
It is, isn't it?
Duke Scanlon.
Hi, Duke.
The same guy who brought you that beautiful Canadian blue spruce a few weeks back.
Okay, great. It was a great... Merry Christmas to you. You know what? I need another blue spruce just like that. I really need a tree right now. What do you got left?
Scanlon picks up the runover tree and smiles.
Just one.
Luther looks around.
Whoa, you know what? I like it. I'll take that.
Really?
Yeah. How much is it?
$75.
That's 15 right there.
Yeah, supply and demand.
It's kind of a ripoff, isn't it?
The scouts could sure use your $75 donation for their camperee, Mr. Crank.
Hey, what do you guys say I give you $25?
$75. Take it or leave it.
Yours?
Scanlan nods with a thin-lipped grin. Luther pulls up hurriedly outside his house. The pathetic-looking tree is fixed to the roof. Luther eyes it with a look of disdain, then struggles to pull it free, and glancing around him, wanders away from the car. With a big heave, he flings the tree towards the bins. Luther swaggers back towards the car, pulling off one of his gloves. Looking across the street, he sees a neighbor packing bags and suitcases into the boot of his car. Luther looks thoughtful, then hurries over to him.
Hey, Wes.
Hey, Luther, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you too, man. I'm in a little bit of a bind.
Luther, I gotta be at my in-laws by 5. I should have been on the road 2 hours ago.
Well, let me give you a hand. This won't take long. Listen to me. My plans have changed. I got a call from Blair. She's coming home. Tonight.
So what are you gonna do about the cruise?
I don't know. I can't seem to find a Christmas tree, though.
Yeah, so?
Luther looks hopefully at Wes.
Can I borrow yours?
Wes? We gotta go.
You're right there, dude. You're on my tree.
Yeah, and I can get it back in your house before you return.
That's ridiculous.
But I don't have a choice. Everyone else around here is gonna need their tree tonight and tomorrow.
You're serious, aren't you?
Dead serious.
A woman approaches.
Trish wouldn't like it.
Trish doesn't have to know. Hey, Trish.
Hi, Luther. Honey, we gotta go.
Yeah, he just saying Merry Christmas.
Luther helps Wes load more bags into the car.
Please.
They step aside.
Look.
Wes holds up a key.
You break one ornament, we're both dead.
I will leave it just like I found it. I appreciate this, I really do.
This is funny, you know?
Why am I not laughing?
Free, Frosty.
Gotta go. Frosty, thanks.
Frosty,
all right.
Spike and a friend stand outside the Cranks. Others join them.
Hey guys, I'm sitting right over here.
They flee. Luther homes in on Spike, chasing after him as he sprints away.
Come on, I just want to talk to you, Spike. Spike!
Luther lunges. Spike hits an ornamental reindeer. Luther holds Spike down.
Bad little elf. Stop squirming around. Stop it.
Don't hit me.
Spike.
It was all just a joke. The Frosty sign, the phone calls.
I know. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hit you. But you do owe me.
Well, I got you 20.
I don't want your money.
Luther looks around.
I need a little help.
Later, Spike pulls a trolley up the driveway towards Wes's house. Beside him, Luther glances about shiftily. A stressed-looking Nora pulls up outside a supermarket and gets hurriedly out of her car. At Wes's place, Spike and Luther stand in the front room studying the enormous, heavily decorated tree.
One huge tree. It reminds me of this tree my dad got once.
That's interesting. Here's the plan. Let's take the real delicate ones and put them on the sofa.
Is this against the law?
Of course not. Just don't break anything.
Across the street, a bespectacled neighbor peers out of a window at Wes's house. He lifts a pair of binoculars to his eyes and observes Luther removing decorations from the tree. He and Spike drop them onto the sofa, then go back to the tree for more. Spike drops one.
Spike!
That's invaluable.
Yeah? What's it say on there?
Baby's first Christmas.
He chucks it away.
Perfect!
Walt answers his phone.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, Walt. Ned here.
Merry Christmas, Ned.
Merry Christmas, Walt.
Say, I'm watching the Trogdon's house. It appears as if Crank has lost his mind.
How's that?
He's stealing their Christmas tree.
Walt's shocked. At the supermarket.
Hello. Excuse me. I am looking for a ham, a hickory honey ham.
If there are any left, they'll be back there.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Excuse
me. A short, silver-haired lady wheels a trolley alongside Nora, who tries to hurry past. The woman stays close. At the end of the aisle stands the last hickory honey ham. The two women speed up, eyeing each other challengingly. Their feet move faster and faster along the polished floor. The silver-haired woman narrows her eyes. The longer-legged Nora edges ahead. As she runs, she glances round at the silver-haired woman and breaks away. Not knowing where she's going, she runs into a trolley. On her stomach and top of the runaway trolley, she crashes into a display. The silver-haired lady grabs the last ham.
Happy holidays.
Nora falls to the floor at Wes's.
Are you sure this isn't illegal?
Are you a cop? Come on.
Luther and Spike have pushed the tree onto the trolley. At the supermarket, Nora spots a hickory ham at a checkout. She picks it up and kisses it.
Can I buy your ham?
Pardon?
Yeah, your ham. You see, it's the last one. And my daughter, Blair, see, she's coming home all the way from Peru, and hickory honey hams are her absolute favorite, and I'd like to buy it from you.
No, it's not for sale.
But she's...
She snatches it.
In the Peace Corps, and I'd be willing to pay anything above sticker price.
Holding her checkbook.
No, we're not interested.
To the man's wife.
You know, it's never too early to start thinking about putting away a little something for your child's college education.
The woman looks thoughtfully at the checkbook. Wes's.
Got it.
Luther and Spike drag the tree outside and wheel it carefully down the sloping driveway. Ed and his family watch from a window in their front room.
You come around here. I want you to steer. I'll hold the back, all right? You steer it. All right, ready?
The tree gets away from them and freewheels towards the road.
Spike!
They chase after it as it crosses the street. A squad car approaches. The trolley hits the curb and comes to a stop. Both trolley and tree topple over. As the squad car draws near, Luther heaves the tree back into an upright position. Spike scarpers.
Hello, Mr. Crank.
Hey, fellas.
The two calendar cops observe Luther closely.
Where are you going with that tree?
Spike and I are just taking it to my house.
Spike.
Yeah, the kid, Spike. Spike,
Luther walks around behind the tree.
Did he just run that way?
Huh?
That's weird.
Is this an imaginary friend?
No.
The two cops share their look. Nora, carrying the precious ham in a bag, saunters across the car park. Staring after the car, Nora bumps into someone and the ham falls from the bag, rolling away. It rolls under a car, which skids to a halt. Nora drops to the ground, staring under the car as the ham rolls on. Arms outstretched, she pursues the ham down the sloping car park. It tumbles onto a main road. It stops by the curb. A truck approaches. Nora throws herself back as the truck rumbles past, flattening the ham. She stares at the crushed can and splattered meat in horror. She bangs her hands on the ground. Luther's in the back of the squad car.
No.
He shakes his head despairingly.
Should have bought a calendar. Gonna need it where you're going.
As the two cops chuckle to themselves, Spike bangs on the window. The cop on the passenger side of the car lowers it.
What do you want?
It's me, Spike Frohmeyer. You know, Vic's kid.
Oh, yeah.
If he says Trogdon loaned him the tree, then he's telling the truth. Here's the key. It's not a burglary.
Spike hands them to the cop.
Key.
The other cop nods thoughtfully.
Scram, Crank.
The cops pull away. Luther stands at the roadside with Spike and puts Wes's key in his pocket.
Thanks, Spike. I was kind of scared in there.
You'll be all right. Try to relax, will you, Luther?
Okay. Get the tree.
Later, the tree stands in the Crank's front room. Luther's studying it as Nora arrives.
What happened?
Unload the car.
What's wrong?
Nobody's coming. I've called everybody we know. They're all busy. We're gonna have to start inviting the neighbors.
For my dead body.
How's the tree?
Nora dumps the shopping on Luther and goes to look.
It's a disaster!
Take it or leave it.
Blue icicles and a Chicago bear ornament? Popcorn, honey, those aren't mine.
Smoked trout.
Better than frozen pizza.
She grabs back the shopping.
What happened to the hickory honey ham?
Nora freezes and turns to face it with a glare.
Never say hickory honey ham again.
Ooh.
Hello? Blair! Hi, honey, hi!
I'd like to talk to her. I think I'm going to send her back to Peru.
You're in Atlanta? Wow! Yeah, no, we're just busy cooking away here, getting ready for the party. Well, of course I'm making caramel cream pie, your favorite.
She mouths, oh my God.
Daddy and I will be there at 8 o'clock to pick you up. Okay, honey, I can't wait to see you too. I love you. Bye.
Panicked, Nora hangs up.
It's 4:30. I need 2 pounds of caramel and a jar of marshmallow cream. The liquor store closes at 5 and they're holding a case of Pinot Noir for me.
A case of wine for the four of us.
Shut up, Luther. How long is it going to take you to put up Frosty?
3 days.
Great. When you finish putting up Frosty, I want you to call all the neighbors and invite them to the party.
What party?
Nora charges out of the house. In the car, she reverses at speed out of a driveway, then screeches away. was a happy, jolly soul. As the light fades in the street, all the houses are lit up except for the Cranks. Frosty the Snowman, a noose around his neck, is hauled off the front lawn towards the roof. At the top of the roof, Luther pulls hard on the other end of the rope, heaving the giant snowman through the air. Exhausted, Luther pauses as Frosty's head appears, his fiberglass hand fixed in a friendly wave. At the liquor store, Nora selects a bottle. As she stands counting on her fingers, an old man wearing a flat cap, bow tie and tartan scarf wanders up and smiles.
Merry Christmas, Nora.
She stares at him.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Why are you out running around?
Oh, just picking up last-minute stuff, you?
Picking up some stuff, a few things. Big party tomorrow.
Oh, no, actually, it's tonight. My daughter's coming back from South America, and, you know, we're just throwing her a little party. She's bringing her new boyfriend.
Blair.
The old man grins, shaking his head.
Yes.
Nora nods, looking a little bemused. The old man has picked up a bottle and is looking at the label.
Would you like to come?
You mean that?
He puts the bottle down.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just drop-in.
What time?
8:30.
You're on Hemlock.
Yes, 1482.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thanks.
Beaming, he goes.
Who are you?
Blank, Nora shakes her hand.
Not a clue.
Up near the chimney, Luther drags Frosty up the slope of the roof towards him.
You get heavier every year. Up here. Come on.
Putting his hand to the crook of one of Frosty's arms, Luther pulls the snowman into an upright position. In his front room, Vic is watching Luther through a pair of binoculars.
I see Frosty. Hey, kids! Guys! Mr. Crank is putting up his Frosty.
Let's go!
Spike, his mum and dad, and some friends wait outside. Luther's struggling. Frosty swings away from him. An audience has arrived.
Come on. There, perfect.
Luther regains control. Vic.
Good evening, Luther.
Hey!
Wobbling, Luther gives a quick wave.
You need some help, buddy?
No!
He slips.
Luther, hold on! Watch your balance!
Yeah.
Luther heaps Frosty round.
Easy!
Frosty's leaning forward. In front of him, Luther's leaning back precariously.
We're going to go back that way.
Perspiring, Luther waggles a finger at Frosty, whose black eyes suddenly seem to glow fiery orange. Luther frowns as Frosty tips forward a little more. As Frosty's inanely smiling face tilts closer to Luther's, he's forced further backwards. They both topple over, sliding down the roof. Frosty hits the ground head first, smashing to pieces. Luther skids down the roof on his tummy. Feet from the ground, he starts hanging upside down the rope wrapped around his leg.
Luther! You okay?
Swell, Vic. Thanks. How about you?
I called 911. They're on the way.
Thanks, Walt.
Yeah, that made me.
Vic tries to hold Luther up. In Frosty's decapitated head, one of the eyes still glows. Spike stares sadly down at the snowman.
Poor Frosty.
Poor Frosty, my eye.
He's okay.
Oh, maybe you should just let me drop. Let me fall.
Luther! He's all right, Nora.
What on earth are you doing? Are you okay?
Actually, it was a suicide attempt. Apparently, I misread the instructions. Put my leg to sleep, though.
He was up there by himself.
I'm fine, though.
Trying to put up your Frosty. Right?
Oh, sweet, here they come.
Here come the pros. Guys!
An ambulance pulls up.
Hold on. I guess you can't, do
Nora gestures.
Hurry up!
I'll be all right. Move away. Let these guys handle it. Thanks, guys. Just a little problem with the rope. Just untie it. Okay, get a ladder. That would be helpful, but I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with those clippers, guys?
Got them?
Huh?
The fireman cuts the rope. Not ready. The paramedic lets Luther drop.
Luther, are you okay?
Yo, dudes, over here.
Ned's son Randy guides a squad car to the curb. The calendar cops, officers Green and Salino, get out.
Folks, move back.
What's going on here?
Luther here was up on the roof putting up Frosty, and then they both fell off. Coming through.
Well, I thought you were skipping Christmas this year, Mr. Crank.
Yeah, what about that? What's going on there, Luther?
He glances at Nora.
Blair's coming home for Christmas.
Blair's coming home for Christmas.
Vic addresses the crowd.
She's bringing her boyfriend.
And she's bringing her boyfriend?
Vic to Luther.
And she expects to see a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
And a Frosty?
Of course.
And what about the annual Cranks Christmas Eve party?
That too.
Okay, when does she get in?
Plane arrives about 8 o'clock.
8?
Vic steps up onto the back of the ambulance.
All right, people, listen up. Gather around. We're about to have a party here at the Cranks. A Christmas homecoming for Blair.
Bev beams.
Drop what you're doing and pitch in. Nora, do you have a turkey?
Smoked trout.
Smoked trout.
She shrugs.
Smoked trout.
Ooh, wow.
Anybody got a turkey?
We have two, both in the oven.
Okay, beautiful. Get them. Ned, get over to Brixley's. Get his Frosty. Get some light stool. Put them along Luther's boxwoods here.
Hold on. Why should we do this for him?
Yeah.
He's a jerk.
Regardless of how you feel about Luther, and I know a lot of you have mixed feelings about him now, but we're a community. And the people in a community stick together, even if one of them has been behaving for most of the holiday season like a spoiled, selfish little baby. We're not doing this for him. We're doing this for Blair. Blair, who used to babysit all your kids. Blair, who comes home every summer and makes us all feel like family.
Yes, that's right.
Why should the daughter pay for the sins of the father? Okay, now, if we even have a hope of pulling this off, you gotta scatter. Get home. Grab a change of clothes. Grab all the food you can and get over here in half an hour.
Let's
Randy,
go.
Mike, let's go.
They leap into action.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Nora.
Guys, better go to the airport.
The cops.
Why is that?
Blair needs a ride home.
Nora looks amazed.
I don't know if we could do that.
Vic steps down and approaches Officer Celino.
Shall I call the chief?
Celino glances at Officer Treen.
We could do that.
Blonde Treen looks unimpressed as the diminutive Celino heads for the car. Large snowflakes start to tumble from the sky. Several of the neighbors are helping get Wes's Frosty onto the Crank's roof. Vic gazes up at the sky.
Finally. There's nothing like a white Christmas.
Nora opens the door to Ned's wife, Jude. Docs and her husband arrive bearing gifts. Nora ushers everyone in. Outside, firemen are putting up fairy lights. Inside, Luther holds bundles of cinnamon sticks.
What are they?
Mix with Father Zabriskie.
Money.
Nora slaps him playfully.
Is it illegal?
He holds up the cinnamon sticks. Wearing her Christmassy apron, Nora rushes back. Dick, looking a little baffled, is trying to sort out some decorations. Luther puts one end of the cinnamon sticks in his mouth and tries to light the other. Nora brandishes a mantelpiece decoration. Luther chucks four balls at Vic, who misses them. Holding mistletoe, Nora kisses a squirming spike.
Mistletoe!
Ignoring Nora, Luther answers the phone.
Hello. Hey, Blair.
Blair?
Hey, we have 55 minutes early.
What?
Oh, that's a heck of a tailwind. Yeah. Oh, that's great. No, we're waiting right here. Can't wait to see you.
Love you, honey.
That was your mom. We both love you. Bye bye.
Luther, what are we gonna do here? We'll never make it.
No, I got an idea. Hold it.
Vic whispers in Spike's ear. Spike goes.
Maybe just over there. And anything else that's in a box, just put it down in the cellar.
Luther's throwing baubles. At the airport, Blair and Enrique are wheeling their luggage through the arrivals hall.
See him?
I don't see my parents anywhere.
Blair looks along a line of chauffeurs holding up signs with people's name on them. At the end of the line of smartly suited drivers stand Celino and Trine in uniform, holding signs of their own.
Honey, is that us?
Enrique and Blair peer towards the officers. The signs read Blair and Enrique. Raising her neatly shaped eyebrows, Blair shakes her head and moves towards the two officers.
Hi, I'm Blair. This is Enrique.
Hi.
A police escort. I'm impressed. I guess my dad was really generous with his donation this year.
Oh, yeah. You have no idea.
At the Cranks, Obi, Father Zabriskie, Docs, and Luther help Nora in the kitchen. At the airport, Trine opens the boot of the squad car.
Welcome, United States. Hand me those bags.
Officer from Ireland. Officer Fromine here. Did you read me?
Spike, how many times I gotta tell you, stay off our...
This is serious. Can you talk?
Spikes and a CB radio.
Yeah, go.
We need to stall.
Stall?
Ready.
You're not ready.
Salino signs off.
Okay.
At the cranks, the old man from the liquor store.
Hi. Merry Christmas, Luther.
Can I help you?
Oh, I'm terrible. A little bit early. It's cold out there. Yeah, it's really cold.
Well, why don't you go and enjoy yourself?
He's brought a hickory ham.
Father Zabriskie, it's so nice to see you again.
The old man greets the bemused father. Luther shrugs.
I don't know who he is.
He brings ham.
The old man chats to all the neighbors as they bustle about trying to get the house ready. And so why is it always... Meanwhile, the squad car travels slowly along a snowy street. Cars overtake one after the other. In the passenger seat, holding a cup of takeaway coffee, Trine shoots Salino a look.
Why are you driving so slow?
Icy roads. Want to celebrate Christmas under a mistletoe or in a body bag?
In the back, Enrique and Blair share an uneasy smile. Salino rolls his eyes manically and drives on at a snail's pace. At the cranks, the old man sees Docs carrying a large garland.
Hey, can I help you with that?
Luther frowns and grabs Laura.
Very good, very good. Hey, honey.
I talked to everyone, but no one knows that guy.
Well, he knows Sam.
What is it?
Outside, Vic's organizing the firemen.
Robbie, check that bottom spring.
Yes, sir.
Okay, fellas, that's good enough. We don't have much time. Randy, plug it in.
Randy Becker goes to an already crowded outlet and licks his fingers, rubbing them on the pins protruding from the fairy light's plug, before ramming it into a socket. An electric shock sends him flying backwards through the air. All the lights in the street go out. Vic eyes Randy.
Whoops!
Who lifts his head.
Sweet.
Inside the crank's house...
It's just the lights.
Chewing, Luther looks relaxed.
I'll go check the breaker.
I better go help Luther.
In the basement, Vic shines a torch on the breaker as Luther flicks the switch.
Do you know anybody at ComEd?
In the squad car.
Officer Frohmeyer here. Do you read me? Hurry, I'm running on batteries.
What's up, Spike? Sir?
We need more time.
Roger.
What was that? Talking about time?
Crime. He said crime. Possible domestic disturbance. You better check it out.
What are you talking about?
Salino glares at Trine. The flashing lights on top of the squad car come on. In the crank street, an engineer is working on the power.
We'll put those down here on the table, I think, just as the entree.
The lights are still out.
Bobby, maybe we put the cookies over there on the edge of the table?
The engineer tries again.
Honey, there was a box with some balls in it.
There's the big box downstairs.
No, it's in...
The engineer hits the top of the electricity pole with a hammer.
Finally.
The lights come on. The cranks look around.
Wow.
Oh, watch her pull, everybody. Oh, she's going to be here any minute. Any minute. Honey, we need to go upstairs. I need to do something about your tan, and we need to change.
The cops.
Will you please tell me what the hell is going on here?
We got to stall. Just for a few minutes until they get the party started.
Okay.
In the car.
See, it's fine. It's fine. Just check up.
So I'll go to this door like we're investigating something.
Okay, I'll put my hand on my gun and make it look official.
Yeah, you do that, Mr. Terminator.
At the cranks, Nora puts white makeup on Luther's face. He looks like a geisha.
He looks like my mother. And she's been dead, what, 15 years?
Salino pulls faces over his torch.
That's enough time. Let's go back to the car.
Okay.
The cops are in a back street.
What was that? Looks like a break-in.
No way.
Yes, way.
I don't need this, not now.
Break-in rate is very high on Christmas Eve.
I know that, but we got a party to go to.
So what do you want to do, ignore it?
Salino nods, then grimaces.
Can't do that.
A figure appears above on a fire escape. Salino shines his torch.
Oh, there he is.
Police!
Eat this!
He drops the stolen goods.
Go get him! Go on, get him!
Salino pushes Trine after the fleeing thief. Trine lumbers up the fire escape, slipping on a step.
Stop!
And banging his head on the rail, the thief falls.
Get up! Come on, he's getting away! Hurry up!
Enrique and Blair watch from the car, open-mouthed.
All right, don't move. Stay right where you are.
Please!
Trine gives chase.
Get him! Please!
Salino doesn't move as Trine pursues the thief towards the squad car, tackling him to the ground right by it.
All right! We got him.
Enrique and Blair peer out. The thief's face is pressed against the window. and the kids there scream and tell her.
Honey, this is going to be Enrique's first Christmas in America. Oh, I hope we make a good impression.
Nora, are you sure about this? You look like a mafia lieutenant.
The black makes your skin look lighter. And Blair is never to know about the cruise. Do you understand?
Yeah, I heard you the first 60 times.
Luther's dressed head to toe in black. The squad car pulls into the street. Spike holds her walkie-talkie.
From Fromire 1 to Fromire 2.
The Eagle has landed.
Roger. Ned! They're here!
I'm not finished!
Hide!
Ned beckons up on the roof with Frosty. Everything is carpeted in white as the squad car follows Spike along the road on his bike. Spike waves to some of his friends at the side of the road.
The church bells and dying eyes and
Blair's here!
Blair!
They're here!
What if we don't like him?
Do we raise the smart girl?
The cranks watch from the window.
Oh, they're getting out of the car! They're getting out of the car! She's home!
Everybody! She's here!
Outside, Vic.
Who says?
Enrique, my boyfriend.
Vic Frohmeyer, pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you, sir.
Enrique gazes at the snow.
Your parents are dying to see you. Didn't Luther do a great job on the house?
Vic gives Trine the thumbs up. Inside.
You're here.
As Blair steps in, Nora hugs her.
Oh, I can't believe I'm home.
We can't leave her home either.
Blair hugs him. To Enrique.
Luther Crank, this is Nora, my wife.
Hi, I'm Enrique the Cardenal.
Nora hugs him.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Oh, you guys look great.
We've been watching what we eat.
And you've been in the sun.
No, we have not. No. I wear black to make me look lighter.
Blair and Enrique look confused.
The party! Look,
you
there's a party!
Look,
oh, the party! Everybody!
Muddy Brown Daisy from the tanning salons with cops and firemen. The bags are brought in. Blair and Orby hug. With a pipe and a smile, Vic wanders in. Spike passes the squad car.
Hey, kid.
The rear window's open.
Come here. I'm freezing to death. I'm starving out here. I haven't eaten in 7 days.
7 days?
Yeah. Any scraps I get, I give to the kids.
What kids?
Well, my kids. I got 4. Annie, Billy, Tommy, and Chuck. And all I wanted to do was give him a real Christmas this year, you know? They deserve it.
Spike releases the thief from his handcuffs.
Okay, you got 20 minutes inside. Enough time to get warm, grab some food. Then it's back to the police car. No funny business, right?
Yeah.
Swear?
On my kids' lives.
They go inside. Nora's with Enrique.
Have to try hickory honey ham. It's Larry's absolute favorite.
In the hallway, Spike turns to the thief.
Food's that way.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Welcome home, Blair.
Hi.
It's the old man.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
They hug.
Oh, well, I suppose that this is your boyfriend.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Enrique de Cardenal.
Call me Marty.
Marty.
Yes.
Houston, we have a name.
Is that a Peruvian accent?
How could you tell?
Oh, I lived there for 5 years.
Wow.
I miss it so much.
¿Y entonces habla español?
Sí.
Nora and Blair share an amazed smile.
Llave les enseñaba música.
Eres músico.
Sí, toco la guitarra.
Dame un segundito, Marty. Honey, I'm going to talk to Marty for a second.
Oh, he's... Who is that?
Marty, you know Marty. Everybody knows Marty.
Marty!
Eyes alert, Spike's wandering the house. He bites into a biscuit. With a plate of food, the thief passes a carol singer.
Merry Christmas!
Aren't you sweet?
He tweaks her cheek.
Bless you.
He hands her this plate and darts up the stairs. By the Christmas tree, Celino and Trine play guitar. Obi's on the panpipes. Marty and Enrique stand in front of them. Blair and Nora look on, smiling. Luther's stony face. Doc and her husband sway. Side by side, Marty and Enrique sing. Father Zabriskie's on the tambourine. Vic joins in, playing the accordion like a pro.
Santa Rosa, de la tristeza.
Trine and Celino are strumming away. Vic's brow is furrowed in concentration as he plays. Enrique beams as he sings. Emotional, Blair and Nora press their heads together. Luther scowls.
Yeah.
stars enjoy the enthusiastic applause. Enrique raises a glass of champagne.
I would like to propose a toast, if I may. Here's to my new family and friends. Aww. Thank you. Thank you for making me feel so welcome. Salud.
As they raise their glasses, Luther stares down grimly. Nora, Blair, and the others turn to him.
Luther.
He shifts, avoiding Nora's gaze.
And, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you, to our friends and our neighbors, for helping us make this really the most wonderful Christmas Eve ever. You really have shown us the true meaning of community. And thank you all so much.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
As Blair and Nora hug warmly, Luther stares down at the floor. Everyone's eyes are back on him. He gradually looks up, fidgeting awkwardly.
Same goes for me double.
Hesitant at first, he raises his glass unenthusiastically. Everyone looks uncomfortable.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Hey, fellas. How about a party tune?
Luther rolls his eyes. Oh,
yeah. Well, come on, everybody, and let's get together tonight.
His lips in a sneer, Vic sings as he plays the accordion. Selena helps Tree find the right note. Daisy and the chubby carol singer bop to the beat.
Come on, everybody!
The pretty blonde-haired Blair moves self-consciously to the music, smiling. Enrique points and nods at her. He glides over, giving her a kiss and a cuddle. Luther is sitting alone in the kitchen, pouring himself a glass of champagne.
Luther!
Nora's come in. She turns, seeing him, and lifts a hand.
That was it? That was the best you could come up with?
I'm not really good at toasts.
Nora shakes her hand.
After all they've done.
She points and shrugs.
You couldn't just come up with a simple thank you?
I did. Just short and sweet.
Luther takes a sip of his champagne. Nora turns her back to him, moving away, then turns back, a hand on her hip.
You're still moping because you don't get to go on your precious little cruise.
There's still time.
What?
We can still go.
Luther!
Listen to me.
He stood up.
Enrique and Blair could stay here, have the house to themselves. We go, and we all have a romantic getaway.
Your daughter just flew thousands of miles home with her very sweet future husband to spend Christmas with us.
You know,
He rubs his nose.
I spent 6 weeks planning this vacation. 6 weeks, that's longer than they've been dating.
Incredulous, Nora shakes her head.
Luther, everyone out there sacrificed their Christmas Eve to help us.
Luther looks away. Nora grabs him.
I thought maybe that might affect you. Maybe have you start thinking about putting others first instead of yourself.
He nods.
But I really don't think that's possible.
She shakes her head.
It's a shame.
He closes his eyes, then opens them again, staring after her as she goes. He sighs sadly.
Why don't we all move in alone?
Nora approaches a group of people by the front door, Vic still playing his accordion. Luther sits glumly down at the kitchen table. Along the corridor, more guests arrive through the front door, which they leave open. Across the street, Walt and Bev are in their kitchen. Luther sighs miserably and looks up, suddenly pensive. His gaze falls on Walt's house. He sees Walt rejoining Bev at the kitchen table, the images blurred slightly by a curtain of snowflakes. A hint of a smile flickers at the corner of Luther's mouth, and he turns his head, glancing over at a tin of hickory honey ham on the side. Thoughtful, he looks back at Walt and Beck. In the front room, Vic finishes with a flourish. His audience applaud and smile. Luther, wearing his overcoat and with the ham tucked under his arm, comes out of the front door. In his right hand, a glass of champagne, which he has a gulp of before stepping gingerly onto the path.
Luther!
He glances round. He stops and looks up at Frosty on the roof, then turns away, puzzled.
Frosty?
He eyes his champagne.
Ugh.
Glancing sideways at Frosty, he tosses aside his glass and hurries across the road to his neighbor's front door. He pulls his coat across his chest, flakes of snow on his shoulders. Walt opens up.
Well, Merry Christmas, Luther.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, you too, Walt.
You're missing your party.
Well, is how's Bev?
Oh, she's having a good day. Yeah, thanks. We started over to see Blair, but, you know, snow started. How's the boyfriend?
You know, actually, he's a very nice young man.
Merry Christmas, Luther.
Merry Christmas to you too, Bev.
You're feeling okay?
Well, yeah, that was a pretty nasty fall.
It could have been worse. I mean, the cord could have snapped him. You know, Nora wanted me to drop this by.
The ham.
Well, I'm allergic to pork, and Bev's not much of a meat eater.
Well, not to worry, because Mel's hams are generally just filled with a gelatin and a fat-like substance. Please.
It's very thoughtful, Luther.
Well?
Bev takes the ham and goes.
Well, you know, have a good one.
Walt nods and looks quizzically at Luther as he turns and goes. Walt adjusts his diamond-patterned cardigan, then brow furrowed, his gaze still fixed on Luther, closes the door. Luther trudges through the deepening snow towards the road. A hand holding his coat across his chest, he stops and stares over at his house. Through a window, he sees Blair and Nora laughing uproariously with Vic and the others. A smile spreads across Luther's face. He stares in at the happy-looking group. Father Zabriskie and Docs are laughing along with them. A lone figure in the road, Luther turns back towards Walt and Bev's. They're both sitting at their kitchen table. Luther turns his gaze back on his own house, then with a half-smile puts his hands in his pockets and stares up at the heavens. As snowflakes tumble down around him, he hangs his head. A dark silhouette against the white road, Luther stands shifting unsurely, his shadow cast across the snow. He turns towards the shields and slowly starts to walk back towards the house. Snowflakes still clinging to his shoulders, he sighs deeply, then lifts a hand to knock on the door. Walt opens up again.
Could I come in for a minute?
Walt shrugs. Luther steps uneasily into the hall.
Thanks.
Holding the cat, Bev joins them.
Blair's going to be staying with us for 10 days. So we're not taking the cruise. And Nora and I would like you guys to have it.
He takes out a folder. Walt and Bev share a look.
Flight leaves at 12 noon tomorrow. You got to be there 2 hours ahead of time. It's 10 days in the Caribbean, islands and beaches. The works. It's a dream vacation.
Luther looks down and holds out the folder.
We can't take it, Luther. It's not right.
I didn't purchase the travel insurance. So if you don't take it, the whole package is wasted.
I'm not sure my doctor would allow it.
I've got that Lexan D on a front burner.
Oh, Benny said he might stop by tomorrow.
Yeah. And we couldn't leave the cat.
This is from us to you. This is a sincere, heartfelt, no-strings-attached Christmas offering to two very selfless people who are, at this moment, having a very difficult time looking for an excuse.
Luther regards them both.
Benny did say he might stop by.
Face it, Bev. Benny hasn't been home in years.
Luther opens up the folder.
Look, I've got everything right here. I've got airline tickets, I've got cruise passes, I've got a brochure.
What's it cost, Luther? If we decide to go, we'd want to reimburse you.
This is a simple gift, Walt. No costs, no payback. Don't make it complicated.
Hesitant, Walt, trembling, takes the open folder and glances down at it.
Our names aren't on the ticket.
I know, I'll take care of that.
What about the cat?
Yeah, that's a problem. Too late to call the kennel.
We can't just leave him.
We could ask Jude Becker.
She's allergic.
Bev and Walt look down.
I'll take the cat.
What?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He takes it.
Look. Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
See? Maybe if you don't step on him so often.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
Luther hands Bev the fluffy white cat back, then hugs her.
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
He steps back.
Well, I should get back to my party.
Walt and Bev look moved as Luther goes. Walt stops the door from closing and hurries out after him, still clutching the folder.
Luther, Luther, this means so much. Thank you.
They shake hands.
You're welcome.
Hey, does this mean we have to start being nice to each other?
Luther glances at him.
Of course not.
Good. But I still don't like you that much, old man.
Well, that's good.
Walking away, Luther turns.
Not that fond of you either.
The two men smile warmly at each other. Then Luther turns away and heads back across the road towards his house. Walt glances down at the folder in his hand, then smiles after Luther.
Hey, Beth! We got a pack!
Walt charges inside.
Luther! Help me!
He looks up at Frosty.
Hey, Ned! What in God's name are you doing up there?
Blair came home. Frohmeyer took down the ladder. He went inside. Forgot about me.
Have you been up there all this time?
Quivering, Ned pulls an icicle from his nose.
Ow! I'm frozen, stuck to Frosty!
I'll get you down!
Inside, upstairs, the thief opens a drawer in the crank's bedroom.
Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree.
He finds a box of jewels and stuffs it in his swag bag. The door opens and Spike comes in.
What are you doing? You swore on your kids' lives!
What kids?
Help! Please!
Spike races out. The thief pulls up a suit and goes to the bathroom window. Luther leads a hobbling Ned towards the front door.
Easy, come on. Hey! Go on inside. Hey! Drink something hot.
Luther spots the thief on the garage roof, stepping on the fairy lights.
Hey, get down from there! Get out off the roof!
He jumps onto Luther's car.
My car!
He rolls off.
Oh, you all right?
Hey, what's in that bag?
As the thief stands, Santa floors him with a brolly. Spike and Selena.
Good job, Santa. All right, come on. Let's
go. Spike helps lead the thief off.
You swore to me.
I'm getting tired of catching you.
The umbrella-wielding Santa walks over towards Luther.
Hey, what's this all about? What's going on?
I told you you could use an umbrella.
What?
Santa hands Luther the brolly. Luther studies him closely.
Marty.
Yes.
Wait a minute. You're the guy that was selling umbrellas in the rain, aren't you?
It's a living. I mean, I meet a lot of nice people this way. You know, I gotta run because I can't pass up this kind of weather. It's always good for business. Thank you for the party.
Hey, you're welcome. I'm sorry you gotta work on Christmas Eve.
Santa always has to work on Christmas Eve.
Marty goes.
Yeah, I suppose he does.
Marty looks back and waves. Selena reverses out of the driveway with the thief in the squad car. Luther wanders back across the lawn, watching as Marty drives off.
Merry Christmas!
He motors away along the snowy road in his white VW Beetle. Luther gives him a wave, then umbrella in hand, turns to look at his house. With a smile developing on his lips, he moves across the lawn to get a better view in through the living room. Nora comes out of the house, and with a shawl wrapped around her shoulders, wanders over to him.
Luther.
She steps closer.
Bev Shield just called.
She rests a hand on his cheek.
Maybe I was wrong about you.
She kisses him lovingly on the mouth, then moves to stand next to him. Luther puts an arm around her, and closing his eyes, he presses the side of his face against hers.
This night is full of surprises.
Through the window, Blair and Enrique kiss lingeringly.
Skipping Christmas. What a stupid idea.
Maybe next year.
Luther raises his eyebrows and glances at his wife, whose head rests on his shoulder. The couple smile happily to themselves as they stand on the snow-carpeted front lawn, staring in at the party. Luther still holds the umbrella in his left hand. Their figures cast a single shadow across the crisp white lawn. Large snowflakes tumble down over the illuminated rooftops of the neighborhood. On one such roof, a Frosty comes to life and doffs his top hat before returning it to his head. Reindeer suddenly appear in the sky, pulling Marty's beetle. They sweep round over the crank's house, glittering stardust sprinkling from their hooves, forming in gold the words, "The End."
Merry Christmas!
ITFC audio description by Amy DeLara Beattie was voiced by James O'Hara. Produced by Chris Columbus, Mark Radcliffe, Michael Barnathan. executive producers Charles Neuwirth, Bruce A. Block. Director of Photography Don Burgess, ASC. Production designer Garrett Stover. Film editor Nick Moore. Music supervision by Little Stephen. Music by John Debney. Co-producer Allegra Clegg. Costume designer Susie DeSanto. Casting by Marjorie Simkin. Unit production manager Allegra Clegg. First assistant director Alan B. Curtis. Second assistant director David Bernstein. Luther Crank, Tim Allen. Nora Crank, Jamie Lee Curtis. Vic Frohmeyer, Dan Aykroyd. Walt Scheel, M. Emmett Walsh. Bev Scheel, Elizabeth Grant. Spike Frohmeyer, Eric Per Sullivan. Officer Salino, Cheech Marin. Officer Treen, Jake Busey. Umbrella Santa, Marty, Austin Pendleton. Father Zabriskie, Tom Poston. Blair Crank, Julie Gonzalo. Enrique Vicardinal, Renee Levan. Candy, Caroline Rea. Mary, Felicity Huffman. Obi, Patrick Green. Ned Becker, John Short. Jude Becker, Benita Friedrissi. Randy Becker, David Hornsby. Mr. Scanlon, Kevin Chamberlain. Randy Scanlon, Lyndon Smith. Gus Scanlon, Ryan Fenning. Wes Trogdon, Mark Christopher Lawrence. Trish Trogdon, Rachel L. Smith. Docs, Vernay Watson Johnson. Daisy, Arden Myron. Choir director, Jan Ho. Burglar, Joe Gazaldo. Tanning intruder, David L. Lander. Office staff, Kim Rhodes, Patrick O'Connor. Neighbor 1, Doug Cox. Neighbor 2, Matt Walsh. Husband, Andrew Daly. Shopper, Don Didowick. Manager, Kenny Thompson. Cashier, Julia Roth. Schoolgirls, Taylor Block. Erin Nicole Gonsalves. Chelsea Broussard. Fireman, Paul Taylor. Mailman, J.P. Romano. Stunt coordinator, Ernie Orsatti. Soundtrack on Hollywood Records. Music, The Christmas Song, performed by the Ravenettes. Typewriter, Sweet and Dandy, performed by Toots and the Maytals. The 12 Days of Christmas, traditional. Hey Santa Claus, performed by the Chesterfield Kings. Jingle Bell Rock, performed by Brenda Lee. Symphony No. 5 in C minor, written by Ludwig van Beethoven. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, performed by Billy May and his orchestra, with vocal by Alvin Stoller. Deck the Halls, traditional. I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, performed by Eddie Dunstetter. Good King Wenceslas, traditional. White Christmas, performed by Dean Martin. Jingle Bells, Frosty the Snowman. Sock It to Me Santa, performed by Bob Seger and the Last Herd. Feliz Navidad, performed by Davy Allen and the Arrows with Little Stephen. The Nutcracker Suite, performed by the Brian Setzer Orchestra. God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, traditional. Frosty the Snowman, performed by The Charms. Blue Christmas, performed by Elvis Presley. White Christmas, performed by Duplex. The Christmas Song, performed by Ella Fitzgerald. Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight, performed by Ramones. White Christmas, performed by Tina Sugan. Christmas, Baby Please Come Home, performed by Darlene Love. Joy to the World, performed by the Butties. Navidad, Come On Everybody. Blue Christmas, O Tannenbaum, traditional. Merry Christmas to All of the World, performed by Jean Beauvoir. Copyright Revolution Studios Distribution Company, LLC, all rights reserved. Revolution Studios Distribution Company, LLC, is the author of this film, motion picture, for the purpose of copyright and other laws. Filmed at Downey Studios, Culver Studios, How the Grinch Stole Christmas Registered Trademark and Copyright Dr. Seuss Enterprises, L.P. In loving memory of Alan King. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. AHA 00652. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. 1492 Pictures. released by Columbia Pictures, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company.